Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show, and we're in luck because we have a great guest that we're gonna have a discussion with, and her name is Liz Capance, and Liz is a chief headhunter at a global executive search and recruitment firm specializing in best-in-class, retained, and exclusive search services. She's the president and founder of this firm, and she's also the CEO and founder of the Erudites Networking Group, and she's also a member of the Entrepreneurs Organization, and she also has a LinkedIn following of over 40,000 people, so she's very well-connected, and we're so lucky to have her here as a guest. She was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So we are very blessed. I guess to start off, Liz, can you tell us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Yes. Thank you, Luke. And so great to be here today. Thank you for having me. Started in recruitment, coming as a second career, Luke, and coming from a sales and marketing background myself, and was with another firm before I launched my practice in 2008. So, yeah.
Wonderful. So you worked in this industry for a while. Did you started your own firm? So you had to sort of take that leap from being an employee to being, you know, employed to being a self-employed. So I'm guessing that must have been quite a leap, right? And but you made it, right?
Yeah,
great.
Yes, it was. It was. I started out. So I'll give you the quick backstory, if I may, Luke. So had a business partner initially, and if you remember, 2008 was a pretty tough time to start a business with the market crash of 2008. So at that point, my partner at the time needed to find a more steady job, if you will. So made that move, and then at that point, my intention was not to be solo, because I, like you said, it's not easy making that leap, if you will. But you know, that summer I had a couple of clients that reached out, and I, you know, love what I do, very passionate. So I said, let me give this a shot. And here I am. So, but it wasn't, certainly wasn't easy.
Yes. And you definitely did make it. And unfortunately, you know, there's such a high failure rate with new businesses that are created, which is unfortunate. So, you know, you're obviously one of the lucky few, and there's so much that we can learn from you when it comes to starting and running a successful firm. And it's interesting that, you know, the business started around 2008, the Great Recession, right? And, you know, so many businesses are created during rough and tough times, actually. So it's actually not uncommon for that to happen. During the Great Depression, there was a lot of great firms and businesses that were founded and created. But obviously, the Great Recession seems like the good old days now. You know,
right.
Obviously we've undergone and we're still undergoing a global pandemic. I'm curious, how would you describe the current state of affairs when it comes to staffing and recruitment, and what challenges, if any, has the pandemic posed?
Yes, great, great question. It has been an evolving couple of years. I think evolving is the correct word, because there is so many changes I'm seeing in the workplace. Hybrid work setup, of course, is one. We just have a new law here in New York City mandating companies that have at least four employees to disclose the salary range in their job descriptions. And we have a lot of things in general just happening. So I would say it's a very evolving market. Also a mixed market, given all the other economic things that are happening, recession, inflation. So there's a lot happening. I have to be, my mindset each day is to be prepared for the unexpected, because things can, you know, change on the dime. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's so true, because obviously we have inflation, and I just heard recently that the Fed is going to increase interest rates, which may spark a recession, which is, you know, very unfortunate, to try to get the inflation under control. So it is a tough period right now. And the inflation, I believe, was a result of the pandemic and the supply chain, I'm guessing because of the disruptions in oil, the oil supply chain and whatnot with the war in Ukraine. So there is a lot going on. Like you said, you sort of have to expect the unexpected. And it's interesting. You talked about what you're seeing, and you're obviously in New York City, and I'm based in New York City too. It's a great city to live in. It's the capital of the world. And, you know, you mentioned something that I didn't know, actually, that there's a law about four employees. They have to, the salary information has to be, or range has to be revealed. And I think that's a great law because it helps to quell, you know, discrimination, maybe gender-based discrimination, pay, which is very rampant in the workforce, unfortunately. And so, yeah, and as far as hybrid goes, that you're seeing a lot of that. My day job is a hybrid role, and where I spend 2 to 3 days at home and then the other days of the week at the office. You know, I love it, but I don't know how long that would last, of course. But you're seeing more and more of that. And so it is interesting in how things are evolving. I'm curious. Now, obviously, we're seeing that light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the pandemic. But we're unfortunately dealing with the after effects of it still. I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future? And where do you see yourself in that future?
In the job market itself, Luke, is that the question? Job market?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. The job market, particularly when it comes to staffing and recruitment.
Yeah. So I couple things. I think that the 1099 freelance contract workers, if you will, based on the data and just what I'm seeing today, is expected to accelerate. Over the next 10, 15 years, we're going to see more contractors, independent workers, less W-2 salaried employees. That shift has been happening for many years, and then COVID really has accelerated that. I think the whole dynamics of the workplace, less hierarchy, working remotely as we did 2020 and 2021, and maybe even now, has shown that I think for the most part, people need less management, depending on the function, of course, and what you do. So I think that less hierarchy within an organization is going to continue to develop, you know, more people that can and have been more productive just working independently. I think that's another trend that will continue to grow. And many other topics, DEI, of course, is another area that is in, you know, growing amongst businesses, and diversity, equity, inclusion. So, yeah, a lot of things changing and evolving.
Wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing that. And it's interesting. Now, you talked a lot about the increase in freelancers, people who are, instead of W-2s, they're using 1099 tax form, right? And so it's interesting because being a freelancer also appeals to me as well. And this idea, because when you're a freelancer, you get to be, in many cases, location independent, right? You get to sort of have that laptop lifestyle that a lot of people tend to enjoy, or you get to be, they also call it being a digital nomad. Right. You can live in a place where there's a low cost of living. And so it's amazing. Obviously, you know, being a freelancer, it's still a job, so to speak. And now you have lots of clients. So they sort of, those clients that you do work for, they're sort of your bosses, so to speak. Right.
Yes.
And you know, I rely a lot on freelancers for a lot of work. I go to websites like Fiverr and Upwork, and that's not going to go anywhere. And so, you know, and I think people love the idea of working from home. So that's why being a freelancer appeals to so many people. And I guess they also call it the gig economy, I think. And so, It's interesting. Now, you also talked, you mentioned DEI for businesses. Can you explain further what that is?
Sure. Diversity, equity, and inclusion in terms of the hiring and the talent pipeline, the pool of candidates, diversifying your team, your staff, that is, a priority for a lot of organizations. It has to start from the top and trickle down, of course, and really taking a broader perspective in identifying talent and making sure that you are diversifying your pool of hires, et cetera. So that is a big topic right now in the workplace, and a lot of companies trying to implement that and put that in place.
Wonderful. So then, thank you for explaining that, because I wasn't familiar with that acronym beforehand. So thank you so much for enlightening me and educating me about DEI. And you also mentioned that workers are now being trusted to work more independently, where they don't need to be micromanaged, so to speak. And so that's a definitely an interesting trend, right? And got it. And thank you so much for sharing your views on the future. As someone who works in the industry, I'm definitely curious about that. But it's exciting, though, because, in my day job, I get to work at a staffing firm, too, right,
okay.
as a client representative. And the idea of helping people find work, you're in the helping people find a job business, and there's nothing quite like it. Obviously, when people are looking for work, they try to do it on their own, and it can be tough. And that's why they seek the help of a staffing agency and firm, like the one you own and founded, rather, and the one I work at. But what would you say to job seekers who view these kind of firms as unnecessary and just like maybe like an unnecessary middleman, and they could perhaps just find these jobs on their own? I mean, do you agree with that premise, or what do you think of it?
Yeah, that's a great, great question, Luke. I would say that you probably can relate to this too yourself from your experiences, but it is so hard to find good people. Sure, anyone could post a job, right, and get 200 applicants, get people to upload a resume, however, most of those may not be qualified. So it's a much harder process, I think, than some people realize, especially now, because even though we've had shifts in the market, and as I was saying earlier, it's a hard market to gauge, it's still very much a candidate-driven market. So candidates are speaking up more, they're calling the shots, they're able to drive the process. So the need to have a good search firm, staffing, someone that can manage that whole process and be able to engage to do the research to find those that are qualified for the role. Not only during the hiring piece, but we also, as a firm, get involved with the post-hire process and the integrating them into the company, onboarding, employee development. So it's a very holistic process.
Wonderful. And thank you so much for explaining that. And, because, you could also hear it from both sides, not just the job seekers, but also the firms who obviously hire folks like yourself, right? To
right.
help them to fill roles. They may view it as, why do I need to do that and then whatnot. But you explained that you get in there and you can find qualified people on their behalf, so they don't have to spend, their precious time doing it. And obviously
right.
it costs them money to do it, but, money
yeah.
is not as valuable as time, right? And
yeah. Yeah.
you take care of that for firms and help them fill these vital roles, these executive positions, and that's why firms pay top dollar to you guys to find great people, and
yep.
as opposed to doing it themselves. I'm curious now. Obviously, there's a lot of staffing firms out there, and the staffing industry has been around for a very long time. how do you stay competitive? What is your competitive advantage as a firm when it comes to staffing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we keep the people piece of the puzzle, if you will, Luke, in hiring. Now there, as you noted, tons of firms, very competitive. There's a lot of AI technology to help manage the whole process, which is needed. However, what has really fueled my business is that relationship piece of really getting to know the individual, what the key motivators are for them in terms of considering a job external to the company that they're in now. We have successfully placed candidates twice, sometimes three times throughout the course of their career. So, you know, really taking the extra effort and time to build that relationship and understand their key motivators, their drivers, and align them with the right opportunity has really, you know, been a key piece of this success. When you just going back to your earlier point about why would someone invest in a firm like ourselves, when we identify a great candidate and that candidate has such an impact on a business, that is, you know, one of the major reasons that somebody would engage with us, because we are able to find somebody that they would never have found through a job posting or any other means. So we've had tremendous success in some of those results that we've seen through our placements. And having that impact on a business is tremendously rewarding, excuse me, when we see the results and the value add that we can bring.
Wow, that was amazing and so true. Obviously, a firm and a company is nothing without its employees and its human beings, its human resources, as they say. So, and you mentioned how when you find the right person for a firm, it has a big impact, right? Mm-hmm. And it's rewarding. It's tremendously rewarding. I would say so myself. I get a thrill every time a role is filled at work. But you also mentioned how a lot of firms are relying on software when it comes to hiring and recruitment. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with applicant traffic tracking software, which
yes.
looks at resumes yes. and rules out maybe some good ones for some, I don't know, odd reason or whatnot. And you mentioned the AI, but you guys are people oriented, right? You're not doing the applicant tracking software that firms are relying on. You actually are in the trenches meeting with people and taking the time to do that firms don't have the time to do. So they're paying you to do it, paying your firm to do it rather. So you mentioned that people piece where you can have a potential candidate come to you guys, interview them and see if they're a good fit. So you're handling that grunt work of talent acquisition and recruitment for firms that they can't do. I guess, you know, staffing's never going to go anywhere, even though
exactly.
technology is getting right. It's getting more and more advanced. And so that's a wonderful competitive advantage to have, of course, over the applicant tracking software and AI and whatnot. So I'm curious now, obviously you talked about how your work is tremendously rewarding. It definitely is. Do you have any moving or maybe even funny stories from your life or career that you'd love to share with us?
Oh gosh, where to start, Luke? That's the question. Many fun and crazy stories. I just wanted to add one other point though before I try to recollect something that would be great to share here. So we do use a proprietary system and process as to funnel candidates. So we do use those tools, but we also will make a point to reach out and connect individually. So we have a, you know, sort of a combination of those efforts with the technology, but also really building the relationship with the candidates so that we know culturally where, you know, a good alignment might be and brokering and facilitating that introduction. Okay, now on to funny stories. Gosh, I am trying to think of one that would be appropriate here to share, Luke. So I'll need a second here to see a lot of things that have happened over the years that I've seen, and some great things, some maybe not so great things. So I will just give it a minute here to think what would be appropriate here. So maybe we'll jump to the next question, so I have another minute to give it some thought.
No worries. Obviously when it comes to you, you can just mention it, or if it doesn't come to you at all, that's fine too. So I'm curious now, networking is so important. Now, I know you had founded the Erudites networking group, and before the interview, you told me how to pronounce that word correctly. Thank you so much for that. It's a great organization from what I've seen. It's because it's a global networking firm where you guys help to, to facilitate referrals and to exchange great ideas. And networking is something that's very important to me. One of the reasons why I started this podcast was to network and interview great people and to build great relationships and to start relationships by providing value. That's why I recommend to everyone to have a podcast. But that's a whole nother topic. So, we met through networking. We have a mutual connection named Yahavi St. Clair, who has a podcast himself and totally agrees with me when it comes to podcasting. And he introduced me to you. And so, it's just the power of networking. And I'm curious now, obviously networking is important when it comes to finding a job because most jobs aren't advertised, right? And a lot of times you find out about job opportunities from your network and whatnot. So networking is so important. What networking or referral advice would you like to give to folks?
Yeah, networking is absolutely key and critical, and sometimes not easy, Luke, to step into or to start. But I would advise any job seeker or business owner, or even if you're maybe not looking to make a job move today, it's really imperative to keep a network and establish those connections for a variety of reasons. It helps to build rapport, exchange of ideas in your industry or maybe adjacent to what you do. If you have a challenge or something internally with your job or company and you want to get ideas outside of your, core team, that can be really super helpful to get other opinions, objective, somebody who's on the outside. So there's so many benefits to having a network. It does take time. It can be time consuming. And really that's how, Erudites grew very organically over the years, and COVID certainly accelerated the group there, but for all those reasons, establishing relationships in your industry or even outside of your industry, and exchange of ideas. I look at networking as really a way to educate and learn from each other, right? And I know I've learned so much myself just through my network and people that share ideas, share what's happening in their area, industry that they work in. So I find it so tremendously valuable. And of course, don't want to forget friendships, the friendships that you can certainly form in networking. So yeah, it's, something I'm very passionate about and really ties into my core business of recruitment.
Wonderful. And I could feel that passion, when you talk about networking. And I love when people talk about what they're passionate about, and it could be contagious. And I'm also passionate about networking, too. So I feel you there. And it's not just for job seekers, obviously business owners like yourself, because, there's so many businesses that rely solely on referrals. They got into that point where they don't have to spend money on marketing or doing cold calls, which everyone hates to do. And so, networking can get you to that place where you can just rely on just referrals and which is an amazing experience, particularly if you are a freelancer and you do the 1099, says the W-2, you can find clients through the networking. Now, you talked a lot about the concept of ideas, and when you network with people, particularly when you network with people in different areas that are not in the same, let's say, group as you. You know, there's no overlap, so it introduces you to whole new communities. I think Ivan Misner, the founder of BNI, in his book, he talks about this as well. You know, you want to network with people that may be in another area than you, and so that really helps you expand. And the idea that networking takes time, that's so true. That's why a lot of people just don't want to go with it. Or another reason is because they may be introverted. But, the idea is that when you network, you know, you're not trying to sell someone right away. It's about building a relationship, building a friendship, perhaps. And it does take time. It's like planting seeds. It's not like hunting for food. And so, and you mentioned the idea that you love to be educated and to learn. And I'm learning quite a lot from you and during this discussion that we're having. But the group that you founded, Erudites, it fascinates me. You said that you developed it sort of organically and whatnot. And I'm curious, is it similar to BNI?
So it is. The focus of the group is to grow our businesses. I have a couple of different groups within the Erudites community. So one is for business owners, and the goal there, Luke, is to provide referrals. We do a lot of collaboration. We have advisory teams, peer advisory to help with how to grow our business. We do mastermind sessions, and then I have another group for executives in transition. Job seekers that if I don't have an exact job that's aligned with what they do, I will invite them into the network. I teach referral networking, especially if they're coming from a corporate job. They may not have necessarily been out there networking, and it's a different mindset when you come from a corporate position and then you step into networking and maybe haven't done that for years. It's a transition, if you will. So it's the same skill set, though, the same skill, I should say, for networking. Whether you're a job seeker or a business owner, you're ultimately looking for the right client, right, if you're a business owner, or the right job. So it's taking that same skill and applying it to either, a job seeker looking for a permanent home, or a business owner. We also have a give back, Luke, to support our communities. I work on the board with a charter school in Newark called People's Prep. It's a high school, and we have a partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters. So we support and give back to our communities if we're able to donate an amount, or through volunteer efforts. So we incorporate giving back into everything we do, and we also do a number of events to support those efforts. Right now, we're in the process of planning an event for December the 12th. That'll be a holiday networking Erudites, and then we'll have a donation and give back to nonprofits. So.
Wonderful. And thank you for discussing this networking group that you founded. It intrigues me quite a lot. And it's interesting how networking can help business owners as well as job seekers. And you mentioned that it's the same type of same skills involved, no matter whether you're looking for clients or a job. And so that's amazing. Obviously, you talked a lot about how you guys give back, particularly to the folks in Newark, right? And so I love that. You know, that's excellent. It's always important to pay it forward and to give back. And that's a key part of networking, the idea of giving. You know, I read a book by Bob Burr called The Go-Giver, excellent book. And he talks a lot about how when you give quite a bit, you get a lot in return. I find this to be true, right? Charles Deeney talked about this in his book, Influence, this law of reciprocity. It's a very strong, powerful law of human nature. And so I try to engage and follow that law and practice as much as that, reciprocity as much as I can. And so, that's amazing. So now it's interesting because you mentioned how for a lot of folks who've been working for a while, then they have to find something else. They have to kind of learn it all over again or learn it for the first time, perhaps. And so you help them with that. And if you can't perhaps help them, you introduce them to the executive part of the networking group, is my understanding, so they can build rapport with others, build relationships, and see what's available out there. So I think that's incredible. So that you have that dual kind of thing going on, one for the job seekers, one for the business owners. I think that's amazing, actually. So definitely. Now, we're talking a lot about networking and referrals. So I have a quick question for you then. What type of firms, what type of firms do you usually work with, and what type of roles do you typically fill for these firms? And what do I need to hear from someone in order to refer them to you?
Yeah, great question. I wanted to also just add another book reference, Luke, in regards to networking. Giving back, I'm not sure if you know Adam Grant. I follow him on LinkedIn, and one of his books, which is to that same point about giving and networking, it's called Give and Take. And it's a great, great book about, givers and giving, but also knowing when to draw boundaries in this whole world of networking, giving first, and based on his research and, studies, in the long run, even if it may take a little bit longer, the givers do gain more than those that may have the mindset of, well, what's in it for me, right? Instead of giving, they just want that immediate result for themselves. So that's another great, great book. As far as industries, we're industry agnostic. Clients in construction, e-commerce, non-for-profit, financial services, fintech across the board. I have global clients, so work in London, Dubai, Israel, Saudi Arabia, throughout the U.S. It's the same methodology and process that we would put in place with any client that we engage with. And so we cover any job function, essentially from mid to senior level is our sweet spot, up to C-level. And again, having that pre-hire discovery call, executing on the search if it makes sense for us to engage with that client. And then big part of the process also is the post-hire. So it's a very turnkey solution that we provide.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And so my understanding is it's not like you have any niche industries you work with. You can work with all sorts of industries, which is amazing, right? And you said you're industry agnostic. Great. So that opens up a lot of opportunities for you. And you guys also can work with firms in the U.S., Dubai, Israel, truly global, which is amazing. And the process is the same no matter where the firm is located, right? You help to fill for roles that are mid to senior level, up to C-level, right?
Yeah.
So CEOs, CFOs. And so you mentioned, I think you kind of described some of the process there. You talked about pre-discovery, then you can maybe execute on a search right away, which is more immediate, and then you do things post-hiring after the person's hired. You see what else you can do. I'm curious, when it comes to after the role is filled, that post-hiring, I think you mentioned, can you talk a little bit about that? What exactly happens after the role is filled?
Yeah. So it's what we've seen over the years, a lot of emphasis is typically put as it should be on the front end, meaning interviews, sometimes too many interviews, right? Rounds and rounds of interviews that sometimes needs to be consolidated. assessment tools. Some clients will use those, others won't. And then what we found is that once the offer has been extended, the offer was accepted, the person starts, oftentimes that onboarding part of the process, as well as integrating the employee into the team, is underutilized. So the post-hire can include onboarding, employee development plans. Really, it varies depending on how much the client might need. We also will put together performance evaluations and put those in place if it's a startup or an emerging growth business. So it can encompass a pretty broad range of items, but it varies really depending on what the client might need.
Wonderful. So excellent. And thank you so much for clarifying that. Obviously, there could always be issues that come up after an individual is hired. So you help to take care of and resolve those matters and
right.
whatever they may be, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for explaining that to me, because I was just very curious about that. And so now I know what kind of referrals you need, and I'll see what I can do to help you out.
Amazing. And then I just want to add one other thing to that. It's, with that post-hire and onboarding, it's, it's the KPIs, metrics. In other words, making sure expectations are aligned on both sides. And, oftentimes the manager is focused on his or her job and may not have as much time to dedicate to, training or getting that new hire integrated into the business and has expectations, right? And maybe that candidate isn't sure what those expectations are. Maybe they're not aligned, and so it can be some very basic fundamentals like this. Well, oh, I thought you meant this. Well, no, actually, I wanted this to be done. Whatever that project or that issue might be. And you'd be surprised at how much time that we don't see, some of those basic, expectations, KPIs that are put in place. And it's even been more challenging, of course, remotely, because oftentimes teams might work in silos and might not be aware of new hires or, how to make sure that person is set up for success, right? Because hiring is a two-way street. The person that you hire is only successful as you set them up to be. So.
Wow. Thank you so much for that extra clarification. And it's interesting, it's just another way that your firm provides value to clients, right? And helps to save
right.
them time. And when they may not have the time themselves to handle these matters. So that's excellent. Wonderful. So I'm curious now, obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, but you're a woman, right, working in the
yes.
professional world. You're dealing with executives and CEOs and CFOs, senior level folks. And I just wanted to know, have you ever experienced any sexism or discrimination in your journey? And if so, how were you able to overcome it?
Oh, that is a very loaded question, Luke. But yes. Over the years, certainly that is out there as a woman business owner. There certainly have been challenging situations and times to navigate and get through successfully. So that certainly has happened. I think that myself over the years certainly have become more resilient and less patient in putting up with some of that as I, have refined my process and just knowing kind of some of the signs to look for. So I think that as a woman and a woman business owner, we've come far, but still, of course, a long way to go. We still have a lot to achieve here, but it's, I think it's just part of, I know for me, it's just, it built up my resilience, and I actually have to credit my my parents for kind of instilling this resilience in me, because if they hadn't, I would not be able to sustain and keep the business going. And you really have to be tough and, you know, have that mindset of, you know, just to keep going. So it's, yeah, there's many bumps along the way, but hey, I'm still here, still going.
Wonderful. Excellent. Thank you so much. Your answer was very inspiring to me. Obviously as a person of color. And, so thank you so much for that. And it's interesting, you know, you credit to your parents, right? They helped you to have that thick skin and be resilient and whatnot, and to have that resolve. But obviously things have gotten much better. You know, there was a TV show they had on a while ago, I think called Mad Men. I don't know if you ever saw it.
I'm not really a big TV person, so I don't,
Oh, no worries. It was based on a 70s advertising company, and male executives would sexually harass the female employees. And so obviously it was a TV show, but it was based on how things really were back then. So obviously we're not living in those kind of times, thank God. And I'm sure you're familiar with the Me Too movement, right? And And that has helped to advance equality for women as well. And it has shone a light on the kind of shady sexist things that have been happening with women. And hopefully as a result of this movement, that kind of thing has been on the decline. So that is amazing. But, you know, we also have the first ever female vice president of the United States of America, no matter what your politics, right? That's quite an achievement, you know.
Yep.
And so that is amazing as well. So obviously things are a whole lot better than they used to be, but we still have somewhat more to go. Obviously, we're not completely there. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to people who want to do what you're doing? You know, like they're listening to you and they're saying, I want to be in staffing, I want to be in recruitment, this is exciting. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say that like with anything, if you have the passion and the drive and determination to go for it, and at the same time, going back into the networking tie-in here, which is so key, if you're starting out or thinking of starting a business, to develop and build a network around you, essentially, because, you know, when you have that good network, it becomes your support, right? And essentially acts as your sales team through getting, you know, great referrals. So if you have, you know, if you have all of that and you have the drive and you can weather also the feast or famine that comes with running your business, because it truly, you know, is that way. You can have great months and then months where, you know, things just don't go the right way. And the grit is certainly part of that, especially as a woman business owner. But it is extremely rewarding if you stick with it and, you know, are passionate again about what you set out to do. So
thank you so much for that. That was incredible. You talked about that passion, because you need to have that passion in order to have the determination, that drive, that grit, that perseverance to stick with it. And if you stick with it, you'll get that reward, so to speak. And there's ups and downs as an entrepreneur, right? It's feast or famine. So, you know, you have those good months, you have those bad months. I guess during the good months, you don't want to spend all the money that comes in, right? You may want to have a rainy day fund when maybe a bad month comes in. And so, and you talked a lot about, you mentioned that the idea of network, right? Networking, having the support and the network providing you perhaps referrals. And, you know, I tell this to people all the time, the number one key to success is other people, right? And even when you started, right, you love that, right? Because there's so many different reasons, so many different levels, because people can give you opportunities. It helps you to put your ear to the ground and find out about stuff that other people may not know, particularly when it comes to job opportunities. People can also hold you accountable, can encourage you and inspire you. And if you hang out with the right people, you become one of those right people, so to speak. And when you have a lot of fans, a lot of following, there's so many ways to monetize that. And, you know, I always tell people the story of Kylie Jenner. She's a Kardashian. She has one of the largest Instagram followings. She debuted a makeup line and became super rich because it sold out within a matter of days because she had all these fans and followers. And, you know, Ivan Misner talked about in his book the idea that you never have to sell a friend. So I
yeah.
always tell people that the key to success is other people. And that's something that people need to understand. So, again, thank you for sharing that. Now, I'm curious now, what advice would you give to people who are looking for work or looking to connect with a staffing firm? And on the other end of that, what advice would you give to a firm that's looking for a staffing firm to work with? But let's say your staffing firm is booked solid and it's not available, or you're on vacation or whatnot, so you can't come in to help them. But so what advice would you give to those folks who are looking for that right staffing firm?
To prospective employers, I would, you know, as we start with that intake meeting to really help define that role. Right now, we're working with a lot of clients on strategy for Q1 next year, 2023, to clearly understand where the gaps are in their workflow. Is there people internally that they could, upskill, reskill into these roles before they even look externally? So we go through that whole assessment process, if you will, with them, and then based on the outcome and the priority for those hires, at that point, decide whether, you know, it makes sense for us to engage and to execute on that search, and then we go through our process. From a job seeker's perspective, what's really key and big and part of the whole job search, if you will, is branding yourself. Now, we read and hear a lot about branding these days. It's like branding is everywhere. Branding is part of networking, because when you build your brand and you network effectively, you know, I love your quote here, the key to success is other people, Luke. Your network essentially will act as your sales team in recommending you. So as a job seeker, it's really key to share your story, market what you do, leverage LinkedIn, of course, some of the other tools, because it's through the branding really that creates the pathway for people to recommend you. Oh, this is what Luke does. We've got a great referral here. So branding from the candidate's perspective is really key. And it's also key because of this whole gig economy we talked about previously and the future of work. There was a great article in Forbes magazine a while back, and it was titled, Companies Just Don't Care About You Anymore. It's Time to Take Control of Your Career. And the whole article was so on point about just this, is that unfortunately, there's less commitment from employers, so it's really imperative that candidates build their brand, right? Share their story, use their network, build a network, because that's all part of how you find a job, is when you do that, it creates ideas and connections for those that might be looking for you. So it's all tied into that whole same approach and process.
Wonderful, and thank you so much for talking about this from both sides of the table here. As far as job seekers go, you talked a lot about branding and how your network is like your sales team, and I'd love to read that Forbes article. Seems very interesting. If you could email it to me, that'd be great. And
sure.
So this idea that companies don't care about you, obviously I've known this for quite a while. I've been laid off, and you know, job security is not what it once was. So people do need to look out for themselves and perhaps a build up, but maybe a side hustle, maybe, you know, have something else going on the side, or maybe do what you did and start their own business, right? And whatnot. So that's what I'm doing. You know, I work a job, but I also have things on the side, and I hope at one point I get to fire my boss and work for myself and full time.
Yep.
That's the plan, so to speak.
Yep.
So I'm definitely in agreement with that article and what it's trying to state. And you talked a lot about the process for firms on who that have roles that they're seeking assistance with, from staffing firms like yours to fill. And you talked about how you help them to fill those vital roles that they need filled. So thank you so much for going to detail about that. And I guess for my next question, you mentioned a lot of great important life lessons. But in addition to the ones you've already mentioned, are there any other keys or vital pieces of advice that you'd like to share with folks?
Yeah, I think I would just say be yourself and being authentic in your message, in your work, in your integrity of everything that you do. And when you just be yourself and be who you are, you will automatically attract others, business, network, contacts. It's what's called, what's that quote? You find your tribe, or you put it out there and you build these relationships. So being authentic, being yourself, really people get to know who you are, your personality, behind that. And that's really where, business develops and or jobs, is when people can really get to know you outside of your resume, that piece of paper, right? And so your personality, your authenticity, and, I think just always being who you are and staying focused is key.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that great advice. And I totally agree with that. Obviously, when you're being yourself, you attract the right type of people. People just love authenticity. It's just something about authenticity that they just love. And, when you're, it's funny, I've gone on job interviews where I've been hired because the interviewer liked me, right?
Yep.
May not have believed everything that was on the resume for whatever reason, but they got that vibe from me and I was hired on, so there is something to that. And obviously you don't want to fake anything, because the real you will come out eventually. And why would you want to be anywhere where you have to be fake all the time, right? So it's so important to be yourself and whatnot. And so I definitely agree with that. And the idea of, I think you mentioned being focused, there's power in focus, right? Like a laser gets its strength. Why? Because it's focused, right? It's focused light. So there is definitely something to that. Now, I'm curious, you mentioned a book by Adam Grant called Give and Take. I've actually read that book. In the book, it talks about a gentleman named Panda. He's like on LinkedIn, and they found that he's one of the most well-connected people on LinkedIn. They did a study, and he's very successful because of it, right? And so that always struck me. And, this guy is so well connected, and he's able to give advice to others and recommendations and whatnot. I'd love to get to that level of where Panda's at on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So I read that book a while ago, and that one thing, well, not that only thing, but it was one of the key things that I remember from that book. There was a guy named Panda. So love that book. It's definitely worth a reread. And I'm curious now, what other book recommendations do you have for folks, or any author or guru recommendations that you have?
Yeah. Another recommendation is, and it's a very easy, quick, quick read. You may be familiar. It's called The E-Myth. Michael Gerber is the author. I don't know if you are familiar with the E-Myth.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I think that is a great resource go-to, for most, most businesses, small businesses, entrepreneurs, what works, what doesn't work. So that is another great recommendation. There's another one. I know the author here. I'm drawing a blank on the name. Give me a second here, and I will. Influence by Robert Cialdini. I don't know if you know that one. The Psychology of Persuasion and Influence. It's a brilliant book. Highly, highly recommend that one too. And that's... he's written a couple of books, but that one in particular, one of my go-tos. I don't know if you know, he's written a couple, but Influence is the one that I have read. There's another one, I think it's called Pre-Persuasion, around the same, topic of influence and how to influence and create value in how people make decisions and how you can influence those decisions. And it's just there's 7 principles of persuasion that he talks about in the book. So reciprocity being one, consistency, liking, I think social proof is another one, where if people see other people using a product or doing something, it validates, it gives it that much more validation when others are engaged with that. So it's really a brilliant, brilliant read.
Wonderful. I love that book by Cialdini, or maybe you're right in how you pronounce Cialdini.
Sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
And also E-Myth, I'm familiar with, by Gerber. Excellent book. And I'm curious, have you ever thought about writing a book yourself? I think you should. I think it would be great.
Oh, it's so funny you said that, Luke. I literally in the past 6 months, I've had so many people, and then also just people I don't know, hey, have you thought about writing a book? And it seems a bit overwhelming, but it's something I'm actually seriously considering, and met recently with a book coach, and she's also an author herself. And so, I think it's something, part of my goals for next year. I think it's probably time. And
wonderful.
Thank you.
So definitely keep me posted on that. I definitely would love to read it. And have you ever thought about having your own podcast?
For like a fleeting second, only because again, it seems like it would be, overwhelming to get that all together. But who knows, at some point, I think right now, may not be in the immediate future, but, I like being a guest, like I am here today with you, and this is working now. So
wonderful. Nothing wrong with being a podcast guest, and the magic happens when you're a guest on podcasts and other shows. So definitely a great thing to be. And but if you did start a podcast, I think I know you do great, because you have so much information and value to share. Just something to keep in the back of your mind, obviously not now, but you're doing the book and everything, I'm sure, but something to consider. Seth Godin, who's a marketing guru, he's, bald headed, wears glasses, wrote The Purple Cow.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
said that podcasting is like the new blogging, and that everyone should have a podcast. So I'm just going to throw that out there. If
yeah.
Seth Godin said it, then it must be true. So the guy is a marketing genius. So are there podcasts that you do listen to or that you like? Or if you're not like a big podcast person, I totally understand.
Yeah, I don't have sort of the go-to routine podcast. I'm a big reader. I like to read in my spare time. So I will be with the podcast. It tends to be sort of a very random, search that I might be looking for something. And but I do really enjoy those that I, when I come across a good one, but yeah.
Wonderful. Excellent. Nothing wrong with book reading. So they're both great ways to attain knowledge, whether it's a podcast or reading books. So definitely big on books, as you can tell. And
yep.
So
yeah,
I guess I'd be right. And obviously, when you work with candidates, you work with on things like skills, like resume, developing great resumes and interview skills. Right. I guess I forgot to mention this earlier in the conversation, but are there any interview advice you would give to people, or resume advice you'd give to folks?
So interviewing, yeah, that's, in this world of Zoom, believe it or not, even 2 years or 2+ years into this virtual environment. I know Zoom interviewing is still not an easy thing for someone to go through. As important as what you're saying is the delivery of that, you know, that response in that interview. You know, so just in Zoom interviewing, some very basics in terms of lighting, you know, making sure your space is not cluttered, making sure that even though everything is so corporate casual these days, and I've seen, you know, some very casual interview situations, to be dressed as an interview, even if the company is corporate casual, it's still an interview, have a button down. If you know, unless they state not to. So I'm seeing a lot more, you know, these video interviews where a company will send a video, you'll respond to the video questions and then send those in, which is never easy. The cadence of what you say, the pace is, you know, again, as important as what you're saying is that delivery, some of those soft skills. I just posted an article actually about soft skills and where the gap is in soft skills these days and some of the studies that have been done around that. So soft skills are super important and will continue to be in demand, even though people get nervous thinking automation is going to take away all these jobs. That will actually only increase the need for people to have stronger soft skills around communication, around, you know, time management, interpreting data, presenting data. So soft skills will continue to be in demand. You know, as far as resumes, it's important to get and put the time in to putting a well-crafted resume together. Keep in mind the purpose of the resume is to showcase the outcomes and achievements of the work that you've done, not just state your responsibilities and what your day-to-day job entails, which a lot of people tend to do just that, right? It has to really be focused on the outcome. Because you were in this role, this happened, right? And so you take those outcomes and you want to position that as a benefit to a prospective employer so they can understand the achievements and your accomplishments and, again, not just the day-to-day function of what you did, and that's really what's going to pique their interest in setting up an interview and meeting with you. So my advice on the resumes is to make sure you have the, if you're in sales, for example, revenue generated, you know, number of clients that you won, you know, things like that, achievements, as many KPIs and metrics, and really make sure that you have a well put together resume. It is the first, you know, you only get one chance to give that first impression. Make sure it is well put together. Invest in, you know, have your resume writer, you know, put that together. Make sure you have those keywords. You do need to have the keywords in the resume. So all of those things are important.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that excellent advice. And, you know, definitely I think those tips will help a lot of people who are looking for work. So thank you for sharing it. And I guess to sort of wrap things up, you know, this has been a great conversation. I've learned so much from listening to you and talking with you. And so is the audience. So very appreciative to have you as a guest. And can you go ahead and please describe all the ways that people can reach out and connect with you so they can put you in their network?
Sure. I am on LinkedIn, as you noted, Luke. I'm very active on LinkedIn, primarily, I'd say LinkedIn or through my website, evcassociates.net. We do have a contact form there, email. All my contact info is on LinkedIn. So either one of those would be the best way to reach out. And I look forward to connecting with you further and with others.
Wonderful. Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I guess that as we sign off, do you want to leave us with any final send-off or last word?
Trying to think. I, you know, just appreciate this opportunity again, Luke. It's been great, great chatting with you, and hopefully I've given some good insight into this whole process. I think in looking for another job, there's never a linear path. And so from a job seeker standpoint, I think it's important to have a very holistic approach, branding yourself, building your network, applying directly, of course, for jobs. And I think from the employer's perspective, you know, really defining those roles and engaging with the right talent to get the you know, the most success in growing your business. Retention is key these days, and yeah, and I look forward to being a resource for those that are looking to hire or job seekers.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And again, thank you for coming on. You were an excellent guest. This was an excellent conversation, very enlightening and educational. And I wanted to thank the audience for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Thank you, everyone, and everyone have a great life.
Thank you so much, Luke.
Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor. If you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me, with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.